You're listening to Pod Catalyst, the official podcast of IABC, where communicators from around the world tell their stories. Let's get started with today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Pod Catalyst, the IABC podcast. My name is Matt Tidwell. I'm a former marketing communications director. Now I work in higher education, running master's degree programs for working professional students. I'm going to be your guest host for today's episode. And I think communications, when it is done well, absolutely creates engagement.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Toth. I am the co-editor of the Commission on Public Relations Education 2023 report on undergraduate education, which we've called Navigating Change. I'm also professor emerita at the University of Maryland. And I think communication creates meaning, which I hope leads to relationships.
And my name is Pam Borland Davis. I'm a professor at Georgia Southern University and was co-editor with Elizabeth on the report. I think communication creates connection.
Great. Thank you both. Again, so pleased to be guest hosting today's episode and taking the baton from our regular host, Peter Finn. I'm also a member of IABC's International Executive Board of Directors. And today I'm particularly excited because our topic is one near and dear to my heart, and that's educating our next generation of marketing communicators. So glad that we've got Dr. Elizabeth Toth and Dr. Pam Borland Davis with us. Both are leaders of an organization that IABC is deeply involved with, the Commission on Public Relations Education. So Elizabeth and Pam, welcome to you both. So excited to be able to talk about not only CPRE, but also some of the groundbreaking research that you all have conducted recently. That's really the main course today, if you will. But I know the Commission on Public Relations, or CPRE, the acronym has been around since 1973 and serves as a trusted global voice on public relations education. Elizabeth, can you tell us a little bit more about the commission and its members and just kind of what its mission is broadly?
Sure. Commission on Public Relations Education is now 50 years old, and we have proudly celebrated it with a 50th anniversary event, which also introduced the 2023 report that we'll be talking about. The commission began because some of our founding educators and practitioners in the early 70s saw a real explosion of public relations education across the country. But at the same time, they were concerned that as universities were starting to offer majors and tracks and sequences, that there was no uniformity in what students were going to study under that name of public relations. So they set about with a small group of practitioners and educators to draft a first report of standards for what undergraduate public relations education should look like. And over the 50-year history of the commission, this mission has really developed through a series of reports. Early on, it would be volunteer educators and practitioners who would come together every 5 to 7 years and say, okay, it's time for us to really rethink an undergraduate degree in public relations and what should the curriculum and the content of the courses look like. But in 2006, practitioners and educators began to think that the commission needed more structure. And they began to talk about officers and formal invitations to the many professional and academic public relations associations who had voluntarily given up their time and talent over the years in this kind of 5 to 7 year cycle. With that formal structure, then, organizations were formally invited to send representatives to these commission actions or activities. And so today we actually have 24 professional and academic associations who make up the commission. A couple of key dates that I wanted to share with you. As the commission started to develop after 2006, it began to really start to envision the idea of a year-round effort, not this loose confederation of associations that would come together occasionally, but really a year-round structured set of activities in the name of setting standards and recommendations for public relations education. This was actually the dream of Betsy Ann Plank, who really imagined it to be a very formal organization. And in 2021, the commission was invited by the Institute of Public Relations to partner with it so that it would actually have a home and it would have some resources and staff support to really achieve this goal that the commission had for itself. And finally, the last data I would share with you is in 2023, the commission actually became a 501c3 organization. So for the first time, it had staff, it had resources, and it could actually accept donations to help it with its work.
Great. Thanks, Elizabeth, for that overview. And you know, you mentioned the 24 organizations that make up CPRE, the commission. And one of the reasons that I'm so glad we're featuring this particular content on the podcast about CPRE and, of course, about the new research is because IABC has recently re-engaged to become an organizational member. We actually were an organizational member in the beginning of CPRE, for whatever reason, dropped off over time, but have now re-engaged. And when you look at the organizations that make up CPRE, it's really, you mentioned Institute for PR, but it's also obviously Page Society. Gosh, we have so many Canadian members. I know Canadian Public Relations Society is in there as well. And so we're very, very pleased to be back in the fold, if you will, on the commission because of the work that it does to really help set the agenda for educating students really around the world. So, and
actually have other international organizations that have joined us as well, particularly the European organizations.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's terrific. We're so glad to be back in. But I want to move right now as quickly as we can to talk about this work that I know the two of you were deeply involved in over the last year. This is audio, but you should see the head shaking. It's pretty amazing. And that is the new report. And I know that was unveiled in Chicago. Several of us were there, including Peter and myself, several weeks ago in Chicago as that was unveiled. It's called Navigating Change. Pam, can you tell us a little bit about kind of the genesis, the methodology, and just kind of how all that came to be?
Of course. And as Elizabeth alluded, the commission does try to issue some kind of report every 5 to 7 years. And with the last report being 2017, given the pandemic response, world events, the war in Ukraine, all of those different things. It was just clearly time to look at things again, especially since practitioners and educators were possibly working much differently than they were 6 or 7 years ago. And it is even more relevant when you're thinking of people working remotely or in hybrid variations. So we needed to recheck where we were in the expectations of practitioners and educators. And so because of these changes, we began with crowdsourcing key issues. What did people think were key points that needed to be covered? And these ended up being ranked by the commission members as well as members of the PR Council. And then that put us down to about 6 key topic areas, plus the areas related to student knowledge and experience, which continued from past work in those particular areas. The 6 topics were then explored by teams and through page conversations. It ultimately led to the survey, and we had nearly 200 educators and just over 460 practitioners respond, including IABC members. So we greatly appreciate those responses as part of that. So that was the impetus for the report and how it got started.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, absolutely. I know I remember responding to the questionnaire myself, as I'm sure a lot of our other members did. But so really a nice mix of both. And I know this is always kind of CPRE's goal, but a mix of not just the academic voices in the room, but also very much the industry voices in the room, because those are the people hiring our students, right? So yeah, that's excellent. Elizabeth, can you walk us through some of the key themes of this report? And I know there were a few of those, and anything that as you and Pam and other organizers went through it that came as a surprise or was a particular aha moment or anything like that?
Every report, of course, has its own personality because of the time that it's organized and created. And this report is no different. Because we did crowdsourcing, we asked both practitioners and educators to tell us what topics should be covered in the report. What were their priority topics that they wanted us to consider in depth? And the result was 6 topics, 6 topic areas that our participants thought were critical to thinking about undergraduate education. The first one was the future of the workplace. As Pam mentioned, because of the pandemic, world affairs and events, the economy. The public relations workplace was certainly looking a lot different. And our participants wanted us to give deep consideration to how to prepare students for this new workplace. The second was critical thinking, something that always shows up in surveys, but is not well taught. It's pretty difficult to teach, actually. And so one of our teams really took it under consideration to develop the ideas of critical thinking and how it could actually be taught in the classroom. The third was data insights and strategy, no surprise, especially with the growth of artificial intelligence, the importance of data analysis. The next was ethics, always again at the top of the list. The next was diversity, equity, and inclusion. And the final sixth one was public relations as a driver of social change. Pam and I took executive decision to add a seventh topic area, which was the state of the curriculum, to get a trend analysis as we have throughout all of the reports, to look at what practitioners and educators desire for students to learn and whether they think students, in fact, are delivering on the knowledge, skills, and abilities that practitioners want students to have. Just two major themes, getting back to your question, Matt, two major themes that we were surprised about, which in some ways were through lines throughout all of these chapters. One was ethics. Ethics was addressed in every single chapter of these six topic areas that were discussed in depth. And the second one was critical thinking. Critical thinking actually fell under ethics, that to be a critical thinker is to be an ethical practitioner. So I think those were the two that were standouts for us.
Yeah, that's great. I just, obviously before this interview, I just kind of went back and looked at the top line report that you all did. And so you go into much more detail on all of those, which, by the way, I know that the report is, certainly the top line is available on the CPRE website. So, and we definitely can put that in the show notes so people can get to it for sure. But yeah, love all of those areas. Certainly, I think all of us who are educators can identify with every one of them. Critical thinking, which always comes up, but really loved seeing DEI be as emphasized as it was in terms of importance for future curriculum, but also and data analytics and AI, right? I mean, AI is, I don't think any of us can go to a conference these days without being absolutely inundated with how topical that is, the importance of analyzing data. And then lastly, the one that I really like to see was PR as a driver of social change, right? Because, you know, our students are going to be, they're going to be exposed to change at the light speed. I mean, they really already are. And certainly on the social side, we definitely saw that over the last few years. So we're glad to see all of those emphasis areas. And I know, again, I would just encourage anybody to go on the Commission for Public Relations Education website to pull down more detail on any of those. But maybe to drill just a bit deeper, Pam and Elizabeth already touched on this, but ethics needing to be required in PR curricula. Obviously, a lot of us, I think, would agree with that. But why do you think that's so critical in today's landscape? And what does that look like in practice?
There are a number of reasons, but let me start with dropping a new song. I mean, report that's going to come out this next month in the Journal of Public Relations Education. We're actually going to take a deeper dive into some of the data that's available. And just as an example of some of the information that we were able to drill down deeper than we were able to in the report is that the international group responding were more likely to require an ethics course, and it was more likely to be public relations specific. And so that's one of the ideas that we had coming there. And because there are so few public relations ethics courses specifically, lots of people take communications ethics, media ethics, law and ethics, but having that specific ethics course shows that there's great room for growth. And the journal will have some of that kind of information, as well as how to teach some of the elements in the ethics class, as well as in others, DEI, for example. But just as a couple other points related to the importance of ethics is that it was the top rated knowledge area for both educators and practitioners. When we look at KSAs, knowledge, skills, and abilities, it came up in the future of the workplace with Gen Z and their expectations of the workplace. And I think one of the things that seems to be coming out is that maybe their soft skill development isn't as advanced as it could be because of the social media reliance and because of the world in which we live, where things were remote and hybrid for several years, that there's some opportunities there for us to come in. In terms of the ethics chapter, there were some important issues there, of course, but also we noted that harassment and discrimination were more likely to be reported by younger practitioners, which goes along with that DEI and a need for greater mentoring, right, to help students get to a point where they understand the difference between office politics or harassment or other issues that may come into play and how to manage that in a remote or hybrid kind of environment. Critical strategic thinking considered ethics and ethical decision making. The data insight strategy, as you mentioned, considering data and how it's presented and being very straightforward and genuine, authentic with it, but also the implications for AI. And then I think one of the interesting things that came out was DEI, talking about DEI as an ethical social responsibility, which allows us to address it in a very different way, given the charged nature of that topic in some places, right? So looking at it as a social responsibility helps us address those kinds of issues. And so those were some of the different things that we highlighted in terms of ethics and why it would be so important and some of the key findings.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you mentioned some of those timely things that we've noticed around students and the way they learn and just their environment, right? Pandemic certainly, but also now new ways of working, much more remote work, and also in some cases, remote school. This stayed on, but certainly I'm familiar with that, running an online program. And so some of these things that maybe we learned in the workplace as young practitioners, ethics being one of those, you know, now our workplace is much different and maybe much more solitary. I know I'm seeing that certainly from a lot of my students at both the undergraduate and graduate level. So glad to see that firm grounding in ethics there for sure. So Elizabeth, how do you hope practitioners or communicators in the field use this report? How can we bridge the great gap between academic institutions, academia writ large, and those folks who are actually hiring our graduates, our practitioners, members of organizations like IABC and PRSA and PAGE and others?
Well, I think I would certainly encourage practitioners to read the report as content around these topic areas, deep content from both the quantitative side with the survey results that we produce, but also broader content from really expert thinkers about these topic areas. Some of the conceptualization, for example, of ethics is quite sophisticated and allows all of us to think about ethics, not just as, you know, frameworks or philosophy, but how that translates into workplace practices. We certainly always appreciate practitioners for their investment in students, and they've been great partners lecturing in universities, supporting PRSSA, hopefully being mentors and offering internships. Those are the bedrock activities that we really rely on to produce professional public relations education. But our thinking coming out of this report maybe talked more specifically about contributions practitioners can make in terms of current case studies, that they can give us invaluable case studies from their own experience that really reflect today's complicated issues. With regard to data analysis, we're all trying to retrain ourselves in how to work with big data. And some of our practitioners have real expertise with this and could be really helpful to us in terms of providing data sets that they think students will have to understand, both conceptually, but from a management perspective, from a strategic perspective, how they can use those data sets in public relations practice. We certainly appreciate, again, those internships and mentoring activities, but we do think practitioners could give more consideration and attention to onboarding practices. Pam mentioned how the workplace now is more remote. It lacks maybe those traditional 9 to 5 hours that we all had at one point. there's less opportunity for interaction and mentoring and understanding practice issues, office protocol, politics. And I think, you know, such things as DEI practices, ethical applications, even critical thinking could be thought about differently in terms of bringing in new employees and how to orient new employees to the new public relations workplace. We certainly appreciate all employment opportunities for our students, and we would like to encourage employers to offer graduate studies to their employees. Some of these topic areas would really be helped in graduate studies, especially extending the critical thinking application piece. And we know that we have wonderful graduate programs, many online or in blended in some way to make it make them more accessible to practitioners. And we hope that their employers would want to support those efforts. Finally, it is dialogue. It is always so important for the commission to have dialogue between practitioners and educators. The commission tries to create a forum, more formal forum for that exchange to take place. But we welcome any suggestions from people on how we can benefit from the expertise of educators and practitioners as we try to make the best standards for undergraduate public relations education.
Excellent. Thank you. I'll tell you what, this conversation has just been, I think, so helpful. I can't think of a topic more important to practitioners, particularly in this employment market that we have now, when we start thinking about, you know, what are the people that we're employing are being exposed to in academia and what we should be teaching as a profession. I just think it's hugely important. And so thank you all for the work that you've done, both in the commission broadly over the years, but certainly more recently with Navigating Change. And by the way, I know we'll put this in the show notes as well if possible, but the website for the commission is commission.org. And if you go there, you'll see right on the rotator, the Navigating Change report summary right on the homepage. You can click on that and learn much, much more. So Dr. Toth, Dr. Borland Davis, thank you so much for being with us today. And I know Peter would want me to conclude with a question he always asks of our guests. And so I'll do that for the two of you. Pam, maybe I'll start with you. What gets you up in the morning with all the various work that you're doing? What energizes you there?
First, no matter what, it's coffee and a little bit of sunshine, but then it's the thinking and creating. I'm really excited about the next PR ethics course I'll teach based on the work here. But first comes study abroad in Montepulciano, Italy.
Okay. Yeah. I know I once got asked this question on something, and my wife and I had just recently bought a new puppy, and it was like, I can tell you what gets me up in the morning. It's the yelp, yelp, yelp. But anyway, that was a much better answer than I had. Thank you, Pam. Elizabeth, how about you? What gets you up in the morning these days?
Well, I have to agree with Pam. It's coffee first and always. But after that, I have to say that even in retirement, it is still public relations education. It is still writing and consulting to try to advance public relations, both with research, but also with my opportunities to provide expertise on what public relations education should look like.
Excellent. Well, thank you both again very much. And thank you all for joining us. And we will see you down the IABC road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Pod Catalyst, the official podcast of IABC. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a suggestion for a future episode? Send us a note at catalyst@iabc.com. To discover all IABC has to offer, visit our website at iabc.com. Until next time.